Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and part two of our study of the 24 elders as found in Revelation chapter 4 verses 1 through 4. And unless you're indoctrinated or brought into the initiated is the word, you don't understand those symbols. That's why people see stuff like from the Freemasons and these other groups, and they just see, oh, well, they got a little cute little hat they wear, and you know, and they the clowns, and they ride around. They don't understand that. That is called a fez. They originally were white. And when the Muslim would decapitate the infidel, he would take the white fez off and dip it in the blood of the infidel. And so you didn't want a white cap. You didn't want a white fez. You wanted to run around with a red fez so you could brag about killing the infidel. And now we got these tens of thousands of American Shriners running around with those red fezes on their hat. And a lot of them have no idea. But that's the reality. I love this from Noah Hutchings. He says, "The only way we can even imagine such a scene is if John had taken a video camera with him." End quote. Amen. We have the picture, and in the spirit we can think, and you know, but still, you ought to just sit and think about the fact one of these days you're going to experience that for real. The real thing. But, as we always say, the best way to understand the Bible is to compare Scripture with Scripture. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. And I want to go to Ezekiel. If you'll turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. And if you pay attention to what we've read so far, and I think all of you have, you're going to be amazed at how similar these passages are. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 26. Begins and says, "And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne." Now, I'm going to stop there because I teach that when the Bible says there's waters above the firmament and below the firmament, that there's waters actually outside the universe, at the edge of the universe. And then there's waters below. And a lot of these creationists, who I love and appreciate the fact that they're trying to refute evolution, but they don't believe what they read a lot of times. And they say, well, no, that's talking about the clouds and the water vapor. And that, no, it's not. And it continues and says, "As the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it." One sat on the throne, just like we read in Revelation. Verse 27, "And I saw as the color of amber," which is, isn't that a reddish?
Yes.
Yeah. "As the appearance of fire round about within it." I believe that's the same thing he's describing as the rainbow. Because the rainbow, if you noticed, isn't like our rainbows with its color spectrum. It's emerald. Emerald. It's like a fiery green. And this is what this is, he's describing. "From the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward," he's not going to be able to describe it. He says, "From here up and here down," look what he says, "I saw as it were the appearance of fire. And it had brightness round about." His glory is just too much for him to even describe the person that he's seeing. Verse 28, "As the appearance of the bow," rainbow, "that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about," that he just said was fire. "This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." I mean, that is almost exactly what we've already read in Revelation 4 so far. But that's Ezekiel. What we're reading in Revelation is John. It's an amazing thing. This is a comment by Noah Hutchings. And it's amazing. Old and New Testament. Don't you dare throw that Old Testament out. If you're not reading the Old Testament, you're missing it. That Old Testament gives you what you need to understand the New. The Old In the old is concealed, in the new revealed. Old concealed, new revealed. Noah Hutchings again says the first gem on the high priest's breastplate was the sardine stone that we just read about, representing Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. The prophet Isaiah wrote of the coming Messiah, to us a son is given. Ain't that a quinky dink, as we like to say. The last stone on the breastplate was a jasper, which is identified with the diamond. For the firstborn of Jacob, who was Reuben, which means in Hebrew, behold a son. Now between the sardine and jasper stones were 10 other stones casting their reflected radiance also upon the throne. You remember that? You know what I'm talking about. It's the Urim and the Thummim. You remember that? And then you have the breastplate. And the breastplate had a stone, 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes. What you're going to find out, and this ought to make it real interesting for you when you go back and read that Old Testament and you read about the temple. Before that, you read about the tabernacle in Exodus. It's telling you about heaven. When you read that stuff in the Old Testament about the tabernacle and the temple, you're reading about the pattern that was given to Moses that was based on what's already in heaven. And those stones and that high priest, who's your high priest?
Jesus.
That high priest was wearing all those stones, and when he would walk around in the temple with all the gold and the candlesticks reflecting off of that gold and the brilliance of that breastplate, I bet you couldn't even make out his face. You ever done that with a flashlight? Person can't see you? That's the way that would have been with the priest. The radiance would have been like this. He could see, but you couldn't see his face. That high priest with those stones was representing the one that sat upon the throne. All Old Testament, amen? Here's another. This is a Pat Marvinko Smith is this artist. I don't even know if that's a man or a woman, to be honest with you. His woman. We got these from Southwest Radio Church. They offered these some years ago. You can actually order these as pictures, posters, or whatever. But it's really wonderful the way she captures a lot of this. Now, every once in a while you see something, and it's like if you look up here, all these up in the... I can't reach it now. I'm too far away. Yeah, okay, there. All these people here. If you look, I can't tell. I've looked real close, but it looks like she put wings on them. And that would not be biblically correct or accurate. But other than that, I love how she's given this picture of the throne. And around it is this rainbow, as it's called, the bow. But it's like it was described. It's emerald. But there's also this red, there you go. That's the colors of the throne of God. It's red, the sardine, green, the emerald, and diamond, the jasper. And that's interesting. One of the reasons it's interesting is because so many times when I've seen people draw things of heaven, heavenly pictures or anything like that, there seems to be a lot of green and red and diamond. I wonder, sparkly stuff, you know, I wonder if they did that on purpose, if they knew, or if they just did that because the Spirit of God kind of moved them, led them to do that. But that's another thing, it's funny that I've always been attracted to that combination myself. And so when I found that's the colors of the throne of God, it was almost like, you know, there's something in me yearning for home. Also looks a little Christmassy. And that there's another counterfeit alert. You know, you notice there it says there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like an emerald. And you go to heaven, there's streets of gold. And that's why they always say you reach a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's kind of a twist on all that. They see, people have heard this stuff from the Bible, and then they kind of make up their own things, and they just fill in the blanks with what they've heard from the Bible. Hey, that's all the Quran is. The Quran was Muhammad had heard stuff from the Bible. Then he heard stuff from Gnostic Gospels, like when Jesus made the clay bird and then made it fly and all that stuff. And he got it all mixed up in his head and out with it during convulsions and foaming at the mouth. And that's how he came up with the Quran. And that's why it doesn't get stuff right. There's stuff wrong all through it. And it's a counterfeit. So this rainbow that Ezekiel and John saw around the throne of God was circular. And the reason I bring that up again is because this quote, "In this world, we only see half a rainbow, or the half of things. In heaven, we shall see the whole of things." And that rainbow, that's what, next time you see that beautiful rainbow, but you're only seeing a half of it, think of the day when you're going to see the whole thing. And that's how everything's going to be. We see through a glass darkly, Paul says. But someday, face to face, yes. Yeah, that's amazing. That's a good point. And think of it, it's always around this brilliance of glistening, shining. What's that? The sun. You know, Jesus is actually, even though there's the pagan religions who worship the sun, S-U-N, that shouldn't hinder us or cause us to fail to see that the sun represents the sun. The sun, S-U-N, represents the sun, S-O-N. We're told he will rise with as the sun of righteousness, S-U-N. But it's talking about the Messiah. And then you have water, sea of glass. And that is why, and this is my own little quote, the sodomites and socialists of the Rainbow Push Coalition adopted the rainbow symbol. Why? It's counterfeit. They want peace. They want unity. They want joy. That's what they say. And it's a counterfeit. Here's bumper sticker theology. I love that. I saw this on a card. "Dear homos, God wants his rainbow back." Amen. He's going to get it back too, ain't he? All right. This is the last verse. Verse 4. Read that with me. "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." 24 seats for the 24 elders. And we already looked at the picture that I think does pre. Now, these are the four beasts down in front. That's next study. We'll get into that. But that word elders, 24 elders, it's from the term presbyteros. Sound familiar? A Presbyterian preacher, I heard telling the story, he got in trouble one time because he told his congregation that the little girl in the Sunday school class had gone home the week before, and her mom had said, "What'd you learn in Sunday school?" And she said, "Well, we learned about heaven." And she said, "Well, what'd you learn about heaven?" And she goes, "Well, we learned there's only going to be 24 Presbyterians in heaven." And the preacher got in trouble because he said, "I'm not sure there'll be that many." There's some good Presbyterians, by the way. Carl McIntyre is one of them. They passed away a few years ago. But some insist that these represent... Oh, by the way, isn't Eon Paisley a Presbyterian? You're talking about a fire-breathing, Bible-believing preacher. Anyway, some insist that these represent the church, and this picture's the Bema Seat Judgment of Christ that we're seeing right here. The timing is right. John had just been raptured, and then we see the 24 elders seated, surrounded, and there appears to be judgment. So it very well could be that what you're seeing here ties in directly to the judgment seat of Christ. Because I believe the judgment seat of Christ will happen first. First thing's going to happen when we get to heaven. And then there'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb. We all got to get nice and filled up and full and ready to go. And then we come back on white horses, following the Word of God, who with the word of His mouth will wipe out the Antichrist system and establish His kingdom on earth. Then you and I will rule and reign for 1,000 years with Him. Amen. Let's go. I'm ready. I am ready. Now, another reason why you could believe, I'm offering this because, you know, I get accused of being awful dogmatic, and I'm not unless it is warranted. Listen, if the Bible's dogmatic, you be dogmatic. Amen? Yes. Don't be wishy-washy just because people like that. People don't want you to take a stand on anything these days. But sometimes, let's put it on the table, and I'll say, this is what I think, this is what else might be. You pray about it and see what you think. I lean toward this. Because it says they're clothed in white raiment and they have crowns of gold. That's going to happen to us. We are going to be clothed in white raiment that will represent the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not our own righteousness. You remember all those who stand at the great white throne, they stand naked. We're not going to be naked. We will be clothed in His righteousness. And we will get crowns. Now, that Southern Ohio, that sounds like I'm saying crayons. But we're going to have crowns on our head. Crowns. There are 5 crowns that we studied that are potential rewards for the believer. And we'll go through that again sometime. But here's the thing. Both saints and angelic beings are pictured with white raiment and golden crowns. So this doesn't really necessarily prove my point. When Gabriel showed up, he showed up brilliant white raiment. When the young man by the throne, by the tomb, the white men in white apparel, when Jesus ascended to heaven, you know, over and over you see that. And those are angels, not human beings. So while I lean this way, there's possibility that... that's the big question. I'll tell you, when you get into a lot of the Revelation commentaries and studies, they'll ask the question, who are the 24 elders? Some people are very sure of themselves and they take a strong stand. But here's what Pete Ruckman in his reference Bible, one of the notes to Revelation 4:4, he said this, quote, these 24 gentlemen can only be guessed at, but they are usually given as the 12 heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 apostles of the Lamb. 12 plus 12 is 24. And this would seem logical if one compares this with the description of the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, 10 through 14. You want to turn there. I'm going to read a couple verses real quick. In Revelation 21, you'll see that the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles would equal 24 elders. Because each tribe is named after the actual person who was born to Jacob, who was renamed Israel. But then you have the 12 apostles, which would be minus Judas Iscariot, plus the apostle Paul would still equal 12. And in Revelation 21:10, it says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. We're going to have a lot of fun studying that in a few weeks. Verse 11:12 says, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious. There it is again. Even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now watch this. Verse 12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels. And the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Then in verse 13 and 14, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So there you have it. New Jerusalem, 12 and 12, 24, very well could be. Now the argument against that is that the 12 tribes at this point aren't part of the judgment seat of Christ. They weren't in the body of Christ. But here's the thing, is some people try to put their judgment all at the end of the tribulation, and I don't believe that. I believe that God, when Jesus rose from the dead, God raised the Old Testament saints up. The Bible says so. And so He took captivity captive and took them to heaven. Now, did He wait and judge them alongside us? Is that what's going to happen? Or did He have a judgment there at that time, which we looked at when we talked about the judgment of the nations, or the seven judgments in the Bible? So we can't get into all that again. But that's just why I tend to not think that these would be the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles equaling 24. But it could go either way. I hope I'm not confusing you. I'm just trying to give you the information. Yes, Thomas?
Noah, when he passed away, he went to Abraham's bosom.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that his judgment there for where he was going to spend? I mean, that's like hell is jail, lake of fire is the penitentiary. The Abraham's bosom was there because his sin had yet to be paid for by the Lord Jesus. Once that was accomplished...
But it was called paradise.
Right.
Yeah.
He's then taken there. I mean, otherwise God would just say, here I am, okay, I'm going to leave you in the earth.
Yeah.
Now redeem whatever, but instead he took them up to be where in God's presence. So I thought... Because that's why I always thought that the 24 elders were going to be guys like Noah, Job, Enoch.
Well, there you're going in another direction. You know, because you have either 12 tribes, 12 apostles, or 24. But then if you start saying that, then... And see, but what he's saying is, that's what you'll get when you read different opinions on this. Because all that's valid information. The exciting thing is that if you're born again by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're all going to get to find out the answer one of these days.
Amen.
Amen. If you're not saved here tonight, I feel sorry for you. If for no other reason, you're going to go through eternity not knowing this. Not going to know the answer. Now, just want to mention, there's a couple other ideas on the 24 elders. Some say they think it's the sons of the high priests in the Old Testament because they had 24 courses, like 24 different areas of employment, or however you want to say it. And you can read about that in 1 Chronicles 24 by coincidence. Quote, unquote. Wink, wink. Then some people say that the 24 represent the church age saints. They're not actually 24 in people, but that somehow just represents the church. J. Vernon McGee is one of those who teaches that. And he gives a real dogmatic position on it. He knows by now, because he went to be with the Lord some time ago. And then other people think that these are 24 totally separate, angelic, specially created beings. The good thing is this doesn't really matter in the scheme of things, but it's very interesting. I love studying about heaven. I love talking about heaven. If there's some things we don't quite get totally or understand, so be it. I still enjoy the conversation. Amen?
Amen.
So, Gregology 101, there will be a test. After 24 years of study, I've read dozens of commentaries, watched and listened to more than 100 sermons and lessons, and I've read through the Bible, I've read through Revelations, I've lost count how many times, and I'm going to give you my astute observation. I don't know. That's not to leave you hopeless. There's plenty that you will get when you study the Bible. Read through the Bible every year. All you have to do is read 3 chapters a day and you go through the Bible every year. Read good works of men. Listen to good messages. Some of us talk about Chuck Missler's got some great stuff on Revelation. I've listened to Chuck Smith. I've listened to several different people through the Sword of the Lord ministries that I got messages from, and Pete Ruckman and J. Vernon McGee and Oliver B. Green. I go on all these guys. And they don't all agree on this issue, but I'll tell you what, there is so much agreement. There is so much agreement. And unified testimony to the fact that this book is your future. And if you're lost, sadly, what we're going to study in the tribulation period belongs to you. If anybody's listening to this, watching, is lost, then when we talk about heaven, that's our future. And they all agree on that. And it's a wonderful thing. Hope you... But here's Christology. This is not Gregology. This is Christology 101. The important thing is to not lose track of the fact that this is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We may have some differences on the elders, and we may have differences on this or that. There's differences of who the two witnesses are that we're going to see later on. There's some differences. But there's no differences between Bible believers on the fact this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And matters not directly related to revealing Jesus are non-essential. They're important, but not the most important matter. Jesus is the most important matter. Amen? And you're, as far as you as an individual is concerned, the most important thing is that you know Jesus, that you believe the gospel, and that you understand the truth of the revelation of Jesus Christ as it pertains to you as a believer. This is our future. Amen?